Welcome back to Microsoft Virtualization for VMware Professionals Jumpstart. I'm Simon Perryman. I'm joined again by Matt McSpirit. And in this final module, we're going to go cover several different components, starting with our application management, then looking at hybrid management, and then looking at management across different clouds. So let me turn it back over to you, Matt.
Thanks. So we wanted to get a few more final bits around managing apps across multiple clouds. So just to wrap up the final section before we compare and contrast with some of the VMware technologies, we've got here a view of kind of some of the stuff we've talked about already. So deploying service templates, managing virtual workloads and applications across private clouds, across public clouds with Azure and service providers. But we've also got the ability to monitor. And Ops Manager, as we've said, is that comprehensive monitoring solution that's allowing us to see visibility across so much. And we said App Controller lets us get visibility across public and private infrastructures. And with the management pack for Windows Azure, for Ops Manager, we can collect, obviously, the performance, events, logs, and stuff that Simon showed on-prem. But we can also monitor stuff from Azure. So that management pack, and I believe there is a Windows Azure integration pack for Orchestrator coming very soon if it's not already available. So again, we're reaching out in many different ways to manage across clouds. So going beyond the private cloud specifically and allowing you to visualize and collect information from lots of different sources beyond just what's existing on your premise within the private cloud. And it gives us views like this, where we may be using a particular, in this case, Contoso Web Store, where the databases and watchers are on-premise, but the web front end of that application is running in Azure, because economically that may have made more sense. It may have been great from a scalability perspective as well. But we're able to visualize and view that particular instance and that view of that application across clouds, so going beyond that private cloud. And I want to bring in something that was new in 2012 and SP1 around the complete 360-degree application monitoring. Displaying and aggregating information from on-premise .NET application performance monitoring, web application availability monitoring, but also something new from Microsoft that's an Azure-based service called Global Service Monitor that allows us to analyze applications from an outside-in type approach, so from an external source outside of our organization, in, so particularly useful if you've got kind of web applications you run internally that you publish externally. And it gives us that 360 view, gathering information from Global Service Monitor, which Simon's going to explain in a minute, the .NET stuff that we've already showcased in Ops Manager as well, and that web application availability monitoring as well. So why don't you give us a look around Global Service Monitor, just so, because it might be new. It's new to a lot of people in general. Yeah. So it might be new, especially to the VMware folks. So.
Well, to kind of elaborate on what Matt said here, you know, one of the key challenges that we find a lot of developers having is they work in a single location, right? Small development company based in England. And to really test connections to your service, which is hosted in your data center, you have a lot of challenges. You know, how are the connections from Russia, from Australia, from Brazil? And so essentially, our goal with this global service monitoring is to give you the ability to test your application from all these different endpoints around the world.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because Ops Manager is only really going to give you a view from your LAN. You know, Ops Manager is going to simulate and test your application, but it's not going to pretend to be in Russia or Australia or somewhere like that, and you may not have points of presence there. So this is going to give you some pretty useful statistics and information.
That's right. So switching over to the demo here, what we do is we basically configure a connection between Operations Manager, which is the interface I have, and tell all of these different Azure data centers around the world to go test our website on our behalf. So I'm going to show you just how we configure this. Now, we have the ability to select different monitoring types here. And so, let me just take a step back. And so I'm going to select the Web Application Availability Monitor. And so what this basically does is monitors this web application. Now, I get to just specify some names for this monitor. And then I get to select the management pack that we're monitoring. So I'm a big, he's a big stock trader fan. I'm a big Dinner Now fan, so I'm going to stay with my Dinner Now applications.
I'm interested in money, you're interested in food. I see.
Next, I get to actually specify a name and the URL that's going to be monitored. So I'm going to set up my 10.10.10.10/dinner-now. Now, next thing, this is kind of the fun one. We get to pick where we want to go test from. And so I could go and search and get all of my different Azure data centers here. So Sydney, Brazil, so literally all around the world, dozens of different data centers. I'm going to add all of them. Click Add.
You're just showing off now.
And then I also get to test some internal locations as well, so I can do some testing from within my own data center.
So that's going to use Ops Manager for that element.
That's exactly right, yep. So we got Azure testing from the outside, Ops Manager testing from the inside. Now, after I configure this, I'm actually going to set what type of metric I want to test with. So I'm going to look at the transaction response time. Basically, I want to generate an alert if the time for this transaction exceeds a certain number. So let's go with like 1.5 seconds here. So 1.5 seconds. I can do all different types of tests that I want to add. So I can test based on status codes. I can test on connection time. And then I collect different types of data, such as the TTFB, time to first byte, time to last byte, page load time, document object model load time. Click apply, and we're going to go ahead and move on to this configuration. So as you look at this list, we have data centers worldwide, literally every continent except the really cold one down low. So we got a lot of broad options here. We'll click create, and now all of our monitors configuring. So we're going to be testing this website from lots of locations.
This is right in Ops Manager.
Correct. I'm using just System Center 2012 Ops Manager Service Pack 1. Now, here's a global monitor that I set up some time ago, same application, dinner now, and we can actually see that we have some alerts, meaning that this threshold was above the 1.5 seconds. So as we go take a look at this, we can get a detailed list, and let's go ahead and click on Russia. Moscow is our first one. So what I'm going to do here is we said, hey, this response time is too slow. Let's take a look at the details. Now, I didn't have to do anything special to build this interface. All of this interface pre-configured, so it's relatively easy to get up and running. And you get this data of time to first bit, time to last bit, etc., etc. Now, what I want to do now is show you the map. And I kind of like this view because it gives you a more tangible understanding of these different locations, these different data centers, and you know how they might actually be connected and testing each other. And we can see from our red one here, Russia, Moscow, got a problem with our service, got a problem with our application. So if I dive in even deeper and take a look at my alert view, see how long ago this happened, see the severity, get some descriptions about this alert as well. I'm going to close this out. Next, I'm going to take a look at the Health Explorer. And this is essentially a series of kind of knowledge-based articles that are built in by System Center Operations Manager saying, hey, we ran a test. This is the problem that you had. Here's the most common reasons that that problem existed. Here's how we can actually go ahead and resolve those reasons. And then we go ahead and we actually tie the specific data for this crash to this knowledge base article. So if I take a look at all my transaction results, I can see all of this information automatically created, automatically saved in this report, so that I can go send this off. I have this historical data when I need to go use it in the future.
Cool. I mean, that was a great demonstration and just, again, another example of just how much we're extending the value of System Center by bringing in services like the Global Service Monitor, for instance. But if we go back to the slides briefly to wrap up this entire section around applications and maintenance and management, when we compare with VMware, what you're starting to see and hopefully realizing is System Center provides much more than just virtual machine management. All of those tools we talked about can be tailored and tweaked for virtualization environments specifically, like the monitoring tools with an Ops Manager. A lot of granularity for monitoring the virtual environment, the network views, but it can be enhanced when you think about Global Service Monitor and the apps that are running in your virtualized environment. So you can provide a much greater service to the rest of the business. Think about how we manage patching and maintenance. Both Microsoft and VMware have some pretty good stories around how we maintain our hosts, how we patch them through Update Manager on VMware and through the baselines within Virtual Machine Manager. But then we think about maintenance of the apps that are virtualized and the services and templates. We've got a very graceful way of updating those service templates within Virtual Machine Manager without requiring additional technology to be purchased, specific versions related to release, automation, and whatever it may be. And when we think about non-virtualized management, VMware only recently now, with the vCloud Automation Center, are starting to enable organizations to manage physical infrastructure. But what we're seeing with System Center is it's great for physical and virtual. So people haven't virtualized completely. We can still start to monitor those pieces of infrastructure with the same set of licensing and same set of tools. We can start to maintain and manage and bring that under complete management, even though it's using the same tools within System Center without an additional technologies to buy or different licensing approaches to managing to licensing physical versus virtual. We looked and spent a little bit of time looking around Service Manager. And I think for a lot of people, perhaps the core vSphere admins, that might not be their first home. It might be dealt with as completely different set of teams within the infrastructure, but it's good to have that awareness. But there's so much integration between Service Manager and the other system center tools, whether you're solely looking at this with a virtualization lens or whether you're looking broader, that means it's a real strength. And when you start to automate tasks that relate to virtual machines, like the cloud services process pack for automating some of the requesting new VMs, provisioning new pieces of infrastructure, there's so much there that we give you out of the box. It makes it very easy to start to embrace some of that capability with a true CMDB. So that's something that's missing in the VMware offering. So even though vCloud Automation Center gives them some service management angles, requesting and resources and provisioning, it's lacking that CMDB capability. When we think about automation, what we talked about and what we'll allude to in the next brief module is how tools like Orchestrator can start to integrate heterogeneous environments, not just about Microsoft or not just about VMware environments. But you look at some of the capability within VMware Orchestrator, and it's very focused on VMware. You look at the list of plugins, and it's vCenter Update Manager plugins. It's other vSphere specific capability that are there in that plugin list, and not as much of a rich ecosystem for integration with third-party stuff. And we showed through multiple demonstrations and slides on how we can provide that deep 360-degree insight and integrate that with DevOps. Now, VMware's DevOps situation, they did have a solution a little while ago called Lab Manager, but it's now been deprecated, and they're encouraging customers to move towards vCloud Director. But it seems like a bit of a square peg and round hole in terms of that true DevOps integration. But you see, we can provide through tools like Visual Studio and Team Foundation Server, and also integration with System Center, a complete application lifecycle for that developer and the IT infrastructure owners. The ability to provide resource and capacity to the dev team to provision their workloads and applications, monitor it for them, and if there's a problem, feed that alert back into them in a language they'll understand so they can remediate that particular application quickly and get to the root of the problem very quickly as well. So Microsoft's really providing that deep application insight, which VMware do provide through some of their new monitoring tools like Hyperic and Application Performance Manager. They can tell you there's an alert, there's a problem, but where Microsoft is slightly stronger is telling you why that problem is there. As I said before, who's going to give you more knowledge about what's going wrong with Exchange than the guys who wrote Exchange, SQL, SharePoint, and so on? Those kind of things that are built into our management pack framework, that extensible framework that allows us to monitor deep inside applications and workloads, but give you the knowledge on how to fix and remediate a particular problem, is equally as powerful as the detection in the first place. So we've got a very strong story, whether you look at it purely virtualization specific or you elevate the discussion to be more cloud and application focused. Microsoft with System Center has got a very, very strong story here and ties into DevOps and so on. So that kind of concludes that maintenance bit, and we wanted to spend a couple of seconds on protection. And we talked a little bit about DPM before, and DPM's in some ways is a bit of an unsung hero within System Center, as it's actually a pretty powerful virtualization platform that can protect now a significant number of Hyper-V virtual machines. It can protect a significant number of workloads. And that's important from a DPM perspective when we differentiate against the core vSphere backup technologies. The ability for me to protect not only Hyper-V VMs and do things like item-level restore from those VMs as well, but I can also protect the workloads as the workloads have been intended to be protected, up to every 15 minutes, just the delta changes, and I can do that to integrate in with Ops Manager so I can alert and monitor all of that, back it up to disk, auto-tape. It's a bit of a retro tape machine, like one of those recorders doing an interview, and cloud, because some of the integration we've built in with Windows Azure. So if you don't want to use tape as your long-term storage repository, maybe Azure will fit that bill. But DPM is enhancing release on release, its capability, its scale, its performance, and as it gets more ingrained with Ops Manager, it becomes more centrally managed, role-based, administered, and also more capable from an alerting, troubleshooting, maintenance perspective as well. So it's becoming more of an integral part in protecting core Microsoft workloads on the platform. And it offers a low-cost DR solution. So I can protect DPM on one site with DPM on another site, DPM to DPM for DR, which is quite an interesting option, certainly for smaller environments looking at a lower-cost DR solution. having DPM across both sites, and in the event of a disaster and losing site, if you're not using things like Replica, you can bring that data back up on the second site as well. And if we start to compare some of the backup technologies, it's clear why a number of VMware customers look elsewhere for backup tools for VMware, whether you're using your storage vendor's tools, whether you're looking at using tools from the likes of Veeam or Symantec or other partners of VMware. There's a great ecosystem which is very beneficial for customers. But with Microsoft, we're offering all of the key workload protection, the extensibility to protect non-Microsoft VSS-based workloads across whether it's physical machine or virtualized, integrating with third-party technologies through, as I said, that VSS integration, role-based management through its integration with Ops Manager, can back up to tape if you're still going down that road, and it's got an integrated DR solution as well as part of that backup. But VMware's lacking some of those with its data protection. So it's not got any workload awareness. It's protecting the VM as a VM. And it won't protect anything that's not virtualized. So if you've got physical infrastructure still, maybe you're going to have to embrace on a separate backup strategy for that. Third-party integration is limited. There's nothing extensible there at this stage. But it does allow you to be granular about how you manage and who can do what within the environment, and notate backup as well. But with features like SRM from the VMware environment, you've obviously got a DR solution as well that you can use, which obviously offers a more rapid failover solution than what DPM would offer in this example, but something certainly to consider. But Microsoft with DPM offering a great option around how we deliver and how we provide protection of key apps and workloads. So we're going to press on into Module 7, cross-platform management. So we're going to focus on how Microsoft's tools can start to integrate with third-party stuff. And for that, we're going to focus on three key areas. So I'm going to briefly talk about Citrix management and how Citrix is a key part of our story around managing Zen Server, but also VMware management. And we're going to go into a demo with Simon as well, who's going to show us how we manage VMware. And we're going to talk about some of the other areas we plug in from a cross-platform perspective. So when we think about your infrastructure, there's typically multiple layers of which you have no doubt many partnerships. You may have certain vendors providing your hardware, networking, and storage. You may have multiple hypervisors. Today you may only have one. Hopefully Hyper-V, but you may not, and we appreciate that, but we want to talk to you more. You may have different operating systems, Windows, Linux. You may have stuff on physical or virtual. And you may be using existing management tools that you've purchased over time and you've tried to integrate, perhaps successfully, perhaps unsuccessfully. And finally, as an application platform, you may be using .NET, but you may also be using others. So when we think about some of these mixed infrastructures, your hardware vendor, storage, networking, servers, whatever it may be, System Center and tools within the Microsoft stack integrate with them at multiple points. Think about SRIOV and ODX integrating with some of the innovation our server vendors are building and storage vendors. Our monitoring tools integrating and monitoring the servers, the storage, the networking components. The automation and some of these vendors building in key capability within our interfaces now to directly manage some of their key components of their infrastructures. So the story is getting much more complete around how we use the core management tools within System Center and Windows Server to integrate deeply with what our storage server and networking partners are delivering. But then we think about virtual machine management and hypervisors in specifically. We've talked loads about Hyper-V and how VMM will natively manage it. But we'll also manage Citrix, Zen Server 6 and 6.1, without the need for Zen Center, but you will need Zen Center to do some of the initial setup. And that allows you to bring in Zen Server using the System Center integration pack that's available for Zen Server. All of this is documented on TechNet as well. And that enables us to bring in, use the Citrix Zen servers within our resource pools, deploy virtual machines to them, do things like Zen Motion and manage templates within that environment, and provide a side-by-side solution for a mixed infrastructure. Maybe you're running certain workloads on Zen Server for whatever reason, other workloads on Hyper-V for a different reason. But if you want to manage them from one place, VMM is going to enable you to do that. But where I wanted to spend a little bit of time and hand over to Simon is he's going to do a quick demonstration of how we manage a VMware in this environment. So how can we use System Center tools, particularly Virtual Machine Manager, to manage a VMware infrastructure?
Okay, great. Thank you, Matt. So I'm going to go back to my demo environment here. And what we have configured here is basically a vCenter server that's set up. Now, what I'm looking at right now is looking at my cloud. So with my cloud, we can assign different capabilities, and you can see that I've selected Hyper-V and ESX, so for VMware. Now, you see another couple of packages here. Gold VM, Silver VM. These are different profiles that I've built independent, but we don't have to worry too much about those. Now, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go ahead and actually go to my fabric, and you can see that I currently have an ESX cluster deployed, and I currently have a vCenter server here. Now, one important thing to note is that we still require vCenter to actually go and manage our individual ESX hosts. And the reason for this is vCenter is needed as this intermediary because we cannot directly communicate with the ESX hosts. So VMM tells vCenter to do something, and vCenter tells those ESX hosts to do something. Now, Citrix, on the other hand, does not have a dependency for Zen Center, so we could directly communicate with the Zen servers. Anyway, let's go ahead and actually add a new VMware host to our environment.
So what you're saying there is you're adding a host, but the prerequisite for that was adding the vCenter server.
That's correct. Yep. So when I add the host and I do this discovery, I'm basically calling discovery to the vCenter host, and vCenter goes, populates the information, pushes it back up to Virtual Machine Manager.
That's very different from how VMM used to do it, because VMM used to import the vCenter, and it automatically used to just bring in everything from that vCenter was managing. So you suddenly appeared with this hierarchy of VMware infrastructure, but we realized that you may not want to bring all of it into VMM, so you know you can pick and choose.
Great point. Now, what I'm going to do now, back to the demo, is I'm going to go select my vSphere admin role. Click OK. So this just means that I have the correct privileges, correct permissions that I need. Now, what it's done is it's gone out and discovered all of my hosts which are currently unmanaged by Virtual Machine Manager. Gives me the choice to select this cluster. So I'll click Next. Gives me the option to go and deploy this in a certain management group. I'll click Infrastructure. Confirm the settings. Click Finish, and we can see that this host has now been added. Oh, actually, it's in the process. 2, 3, there we go. So now we can directly manage this VMware cluster straight through Virtual Machine Manager. And we can do things such as deploy our VMs to this cluster, deploy services to this cluster. Now, final thing I'm going to do as part of this VMware hybrid management is talk a little bit about actually importing templates. Now, if you're thinking about, you know, gradually migrated from your VMware infrastructure over to the Microsoft infrastructure, don't feel rushed. Remember, this transition can be gradual. System Center allows you to manage both from a single interface. Now, in this case, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to actually select a few templates that I want to import here. Click OK, and now they're added to my library. Now, what this means is, moving forward, if I've configured a template through vCenter, I can now go and use that template through Hyper-V. And so let's actually go ahead and take a look at some of the settings. Now, when I first configured this, remember, this was a VMware template. When we move this into Hyper-V, it updates all of the settings so that they are remapped and they basically become Hyper-V settings. So all of this information you see here is consistent with the other Hyper-V settings that we've had before. We have the ability to change our network adapters, everything like that. So essentially, it's an easy-to-use upgrade process for moving from the VMware over to Microsoft Hyper-V and using now a consistent management interface.
Yeah, and I think that's the key. And if we go back to the slides, just to explain a little bit more about the kind of requirements you need on the VMware side to manage it through VMM 2012 SP1, the key things are it has to be either vCenter 4.1 or 5.1. So if you're on 5 and you want to manage it with SP1 of System Center 2012, then you're going to need version 5.1, which for the most part, if you have an SNS agreement with VMware, you'll typically be able to just upgrade. And we find most customers who do have an active agreement upgrade relatively quickly. So if you're on 4.1, fine, VMM can manage that. If you're on 5.1, we can manage that as well. And that reflects in the ESX / ESXi versions. Obviously, there was two versions when it was around version 4.1. Now they only deploy 5.1, so you've only got the one choice. But either way, we can manage that through VMM. But it isn't intended, and Simon alluded to this, it's not intended to replace vCenter. People get confused and they think, you know what? Microsoft are trying to muscle in here and just effectively remove some of the VMware components and just focus on ESXi management directly. And it's not the case. And if you look at some of the TechNet guidance and documentation we have in the TechNet library, one of the explicit points called out when we talk about managing VMware hosts is that we're just trying to do the day-to-day operations, the create, the manage, the store, the deployment of VMs, the live migration, the storage vMotion of VMs. We're not trying to deploy distributed switches every day. We're not trying to deploy fault-tolerant VMs. We'll recognize fault-tolerant VMs as an example, but we don't configure them. And update management, for instance, we're not managing the patching of your vSphere infrastructure. That's still something you would manage from vCenter. So there's still an element of things you would still do from there, but the day-to-day, I just want to check where my VMs are and move them around and see if they're operating effectively. And we can also apply dynamic optimization to the vSphere host as well, so it's pretty cool. You probably wouldn't use it in conjunction with DRS. You'd choose one or the other, whichever one works best for you. But in terms of VM management, as Simon showed, we support the creation of VM-based templates or VMDK-based templates from the library, but we support the importing of templates from vCenter, as Simon showed. But this time, unlike in previous versions of VMM managing vSphere, we don't copy everything to the library. We just bring across the metadata into the VMM library so that when we want to deploy a new VMware virtual machine to the VMware infrastructure, we just know what the template looks like. We don't have to copy the VMDK from one location to another and then back out to the hosts. We just deploy it directly from the vCenter library as it stands. And like I say, we can deploy service templates, we can create private clouds, the intelligent placement when we're deploying virtual machines will kick in and help us best place virtual machines. Dynamic optimization, power optimization, and Pro all work with VMM, with a VMware infrastructure under VMM, and live migration and storage, live migration or vMotion and storage vMotion in the VMware world. So we're providing, like I say, that day-to-day stuff. There'll always be things that different people classify as day-to-day. You know, there'll be certain things. I'm building fault-tolerant VMs every day. Okay, fine. You're not going to be able to do that from VMM. We'll have to set that expectation now. But we can manage it once it's there. You know, we can appreciate that you've created that. But let's move on past virtual machine and VMware management, and let's look at what we can do for some of the OSs. We've already seen Ops Manager do a huge amount of stuff for Windows-based infrastructures. For Azure, we can monitor that. We've seen the Global Service Monitor. We've seen the level of depth we can go to around providing more capability around OSs. But not a lot of people know that actually we're doing a lot of work with Linux and the Linux community to help virtualize Linux workloads on Hyper-V. So we've got some great stuff and great results on virtualizing non-Microsoft platforms like Red Hat, Zuse, CentOS, and a couple of others on Hyper-V. So we've worked hard with the community there. But the ongoing monitoring and maintenance is also important. But one of the key differences in Virtual Machine Manager from a starting point here, when you go to deploy templates for Windows servers in VMM, certainly in the previous release and 2008 R2 VMM, what we found is that there was an inconsistency between the experience you had deploying Windows-based templates of VMs to those of Linux. We didn't provide the same level of customization and control for the Linux VMs that we were deploying as part of a template. However, now we've improved the consistency, so you can use VM templates for Linux-based VM deployments. Deploy them as tiers as part of a service and deploy them to Hyper-V hosts, as you would expect. But we also now provide a lot more customization for that Linux template and virtual machine. Password, computer name, IP address, time zone, root public key, run once commands that you might want to execute on launch. And we provide ease of use in terms of defining which operating system is in there, so that makes management, ongoing management, easier. And once it's been deployed, that's where you come in and start to see the visibility through Ops Manager. Because through agent-based deployment into Linux environments, it's probobably quite hard to make out here, but here's a SUSE Linux enterprise machine. I bring up some of these, Novell, SLES, Red Hat Enterprise, IBM AIX, HP Unix, Solaris, HP UX, sorry, and lots of other different platforms, Oracle, Apache, Java, you name it. There's probably a management pack out there for it, whether it's Microsoft-produced or third-party partner-produced. But either way, that cross-platform visibility is very, very important. And I mentioned earlier a partner called Veeam, who many of you may know from the VMware ecosystem anyway. They produce a fantastic management pack that enables you to use Ops Manager to monitor deep inside your VMware environment. Offers a lot of granularity around things like memory overcommit, CPU usage, memory, disk, whatever it may be. Very, very intelligent, and incorporates that into System Center Ops Manager. So when we think about existing management tools, we talked before about Orchestrator. A lot of organizations have got investments in certain management tools here and there, whether they're from vendors like HP, CA, IBM, BMC, insert other here. So ServiceNow is one you brought up as a good example. Those investments, we don't want to say they're they're worthless. We don't want to replace them necessarily. We want to help you embrace and get the most from them, utilizing some of the Microsoft technologies to help you drive your business forward. And when we think about Orchestrator, out of the box, we've got integration packs for all of these different things. So all of the System Center components, I can automate across AD, Exchange, Tivoli, Netcall, Omnibus, HP tools like Operations Manager, Service Manager, the ILO elements for deployment we can automate. vSphere is in the box to enable us to automate vSphere. FTP file service, Windows Azure is now available. So I'm automating across different clouds with a variety of different key components. But then our partners, I mean, these were new in SP1, so Exchange, Windows Server, and FTP. But our partners are really going to town and creating integration packs, you know, the little things that were listed down the right-hand side of Simon's Orchestrator demo earlier on, that enable us to plug in and automate their solutions. BMC, Dell, NetApp with OnCommand, Cisco UCS, Kelvarian, a very popular partner in this space who are delivering integration packs for customers and other partners. So if you need an integration pack, you think, and it doesn't exist today, you know, reach out to those guys and see what they can deliver for you. I'm sure there's some very valuable solutions there. Or you can write your own.
And yeah, just to add to that about authoring your own, very shortly on the Microsoft Virtual Academy, we will have courses specifically built on Management Pack Authoring for System Center Operations Manager and Integration Pack Authoring for System Center Orchestrator. So make sure you regularly check back on the Microsoft Virtual Academy, www.microsoftvirtualacademy.com, and you can get this training very soon.
Yeah. So final area, application frameworks. It's not just about .NET. It's not just about the Microsoft frameworks. It's things like Java, PHP, Ruby. And as an OS, Windows Server 2012 is a massively scalable web server to run an application server to run these key frameworks. .NET is obviously going to run great on there, but we also run the other application frameworks really well as well. But when we think about Ops Manager and we think about what we can monitor, if we focus on Java specifically, we're able to monitor IBM, some of the IBM Java-based solutions, WebLogic, JBoss, Tomcat, across different operating systems that they may be running on. So we're offering a great deal of support for key J2E Java application servers on different operating systems in the environment. And that's all within Ops Manager. So it allows us to monitor and get similar levels of granularity and monitoring for your virtualized workloads inside the environment as that of what we discussed with Ops Manager before and the insight into our core applications. When we look and compare what we're doing around cross-platform with VMware before we wrap up and focus on the final module, we're doing a lot more around multi-hypervisor management. It's been a design goal of System Center for a significant amount of time. And multi-hypervisor management isn't just about managing the VMs from a deployment and that kind of management. It's also about monitoring, where we have a great partner ecosystem who's plugging into Ops Manager to monitor vSphere infrastructure or different hypervisor infrastructures as well. It's also about the deployment through VMM. And VMware management has been in VMM for, what, three versions now?
Wow,
if you count SP1, 2012, and 2008 R2. So what we're delivering there, it's been a core design goal of ours to include that capability. But with VMware, initially dismissive, you know, you're not going to need that, why bother? Now, tools like the multi-hypervisor manager plugin for vSphere start to crop up, which doesn't have a great deal of functionality. Can't do things like live migrate VMs, no template awareness. It's very basic. But perhaps more importantly, the vCloud Automation Center now gives VMware admins the ability to deploy infrastructure out to non-VMware hosts as well. So they're getting a bit more capability in there, but obviously what we're offering with System Center Virtual Machine Manager, Manager VMware, is much more integrated at this stage. When we think about GuestOS support, it's a clear statement of what we support in the GuestOS environment. And VMware come out and claim we support 80 guest operating systems versus Microsoft's 20. It's like, well, on your list, you've got MS-DOS.
Who supports that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's gone. Game over for MS-DOS and Windows NT, and support is a different word to compatibility. And you just got to be careful, I think. And support, we, both Microsoft and VMware, support all of the key in-life cycle supported Windows operating systems and those Linux distributions that are supported by a vendor that's providing commercial supported agreements. But what's important to note right now as we stand at this point in time is our, as I said earlier, our server virtualization validation program, which virtualization vendors submit and test their hypervisor against our set of tests. And once they pass, we then support our workloads on that platform. And VMware have been a key contributor to this for over a number of years. vSphere 3.5, 4, 4.1, update 1, version 5, update 1, and so on. But version 5.1 is yet to go through the server virtualization validation program, which means workloads wouldn't be officially supported on that platform just yet. So something to bear in mind. Keep checking SVVP, the windowsservercatalog.com to find out more. And finally, that third-party in management integration, whether it's Orchestrator, whether it's plugging in through Ops Manager, there's so much integration with other management tools and application frameworks within the Microsoft solution that's native. With VMware, there's a limited number of third-party plugins within the vCenter Orchestrator. And if you want to use some of the vCenter Operations Management Suite technologies from the VMware vCloud portfolio, then you're going to have to purchase third-party adapters to integrate them in. And finally, those application frameworks. Yes, you can monitor different application frameworks on the VMware platform, but there's no integration with any DevOps, for instance. And when you start to drill into what the supported platforms are on the Hyperic website, for instance, what you'll see is that .NET 3 is the latest version that's supported for .NET, and we're already well past that in terms of in real-world examples and applications. So just something to be aware of. And also, as we highlighted earlier, one of Microsoft's strengths is not only diagnosing what's going on, but providing guidance, knowledge, and remediation as to how to fix a particular problem. And that's something we do really well within Ops Manager, and VMware's lacking some of that remediation guidance and around those detected issues. But it's certainly a significant step forward from what it probably was 18 months ago when the management tools were really focused on just vCenter and perhaps vCloud Director. So it'll be interesting to see how this moves forward going forward as well. But Ops Manager and Microsoft System Center isn't going to stand still.